Welcome to the Currency.News podcast. It pays to be curious.
The numbers speak for themselves. Financial services is a massive industry in Ireland. 8,000 companies employing more than 120,000 people. The sector generates 6.8 billion euro annually in tax revenues. But a new report from EY Ireland predicts it can get even bigger. That is, if key competitive advantages and opportunities are harnessed correctly. To discuss what those are and where the industry can get to, I'm delighted to be joined by Colin Ryan, who's the Financial Services Managing Partner with EY in Ireland. Colin, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ian. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks.
I gave a bit of an idea of the size and the scale of the industry, but you think it can get even bigger going forward?
I do, or we do. And I mean, you gave a great overview of the industry there, but even just to add to it for a second, some people may not realise, big and all as it is, we are the third largest funds domicile globally. Ireland, after two other markets, is the third largest. 6% of the total assets under management in the fund industry are sitting here in Dublin. The aviation finance sector globally is housed here. 60% of the value of it is managed here in Ireland. So it's a significant sector. Can it get bigger? Yeah, we absolutely believe it can. But part of the reason why we wanted to take a step back and kind of ask the question is, we don't believe it will just happen through accident, right? If you look back to, and you said yourself it didn't happen by accident, if you look back to mid-80s Ireland, if you look at high unemployment, employment in the high teens, massive national debt, mass emigration, Ireland was in a difficult place. And back then, a number of very bold decisions were taken. Public-private partnership was at the centre of it, state sponsorship, the setup of a special incentive area in the city that was, you know, wasteland on the Docklands as it was at the time.
And it's funny, we look at it now and we think it was always there. And yet it wasn't.
Exactly. And if you look at the recent funds sector report that the Department of Finance published, there's a lovely appendix at the back of it, which talks about sort of the history of the foundations of that sector. And there's a picture of 1980s Docklands, Dublin. And if you look at it, and it's transformative what it now is today. And I guess the point is, decisions were taken back then. It was quite bold to imagine that we might be as big as we are. There was a lot of ambition to it, but there was a lot of infrastructure built that actually got us to where we are today. And fundamentally with this report, what we're asking is, are we repeating that pattern? Have we learned that pattern? Are we making bold decisions? Are we planning for the future? Or maybe are we, perhaps there's a risk we might just hope or assume that this growth will continue.
That complacency seeps into the system. And I know complacency is a big word at the moment.
Absolutely, absolutely.
The report is really interesting. I've read it. It's called Building a Better Financial Services in Ireland, Accelerate to Elevate, should I say. It sets out a very ambitious framework for the future. And we'll come to some of the pillars and the proposals and the recommendations that you make in a moment. But by 2028, and that's only a couple of years away, a lot of these reports, Colin, often look 20, 30 years down the line, but you're looking at a very short-term horizon. You think that the financial services industry could grow by 26% by 2028, with employment in the sector increasing by 34%. They're big numbers and it's a big aspiration. You might just talk us through the methodology of the report, how you fell upon these numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. And behind those numbers is 30,000 new jobs, right? And that's a really interesting way to look at it in terms of opportunity. At the centre of the report is a question which we looked at sort of financial services hubs around the world. We looked at locations that today have a lot of financial services activity that seem to be attracting inward investment and have a reasonable rate of growth. And what we did is we examined those, and really what it boiled down to is we identified five broad themes, or accelerants as we call them in the report. And if you look at each of those, the locations that are growing quicker, getting more investment, pulling away from the pack, all have very, very strong characteristics relative to those, and I'll outline them. We looked at the technology and innovation sort of sector or environment in each of those countries. We looked at talent and demographics, the labour supply and strategic investment in that. We looked at trade flows, cross-border trade. We looked at macroeconomic fundamentals, just the fundamental hygiene in that particular economy. And we looked at the legal and regulatory environment. And the interesting thing is when you take those and you score them and then you compound them and you look at different locations, three countries really came to the top throughout. So Singapore, Switzerland and Luxembourg. Across the board, they are three really interesting locations. So we said, well, what are they doing? And other countries, of course, as well. Are we mimicking the same type of strategic interventions, or is there more we could do to learn from them or indeed pull away from them?
That's really interesting. So you kind of that international benchmarking and peer review almost against those other jurisdictions. And I suppose the key thing is, it's a really interesting idea. Yes, we're copying them, but to really compete against them, particularly in the current climate, we need to be doing more.
Yeah, and perhaps we're copying them, or perhaps they've copied us, right, given our history over the last 30 years. We spoke to about 150 stakeholders across the industry. We interviewed industry leaders as well as doing the primary research. And what we got from that was actually, if you think about technology, we have been very successful as a country here from a technology perspective. But when we spoke to some of those industry leaders, they said, are we doing enough? If you look at the concentration of US and global tech giants here in Ireland, the talent ecosystem around them, are we doing enough to drive sort of bilateral collaboration between that sector and our financial services sector? And the general sense from our survey respondents was no. Over 90% of them said there's more we could be doing here.
So there was an honest approach. It wasn't simply box ticking. Listen, I want to run through those five accelerants that you described them as, because I think if we're going to get into the detail for how we're going to get those 30,000 jobs. And I think one of the other interesting things that came out of the survey was that the gross value added in the financial services sector could rise by 3.4 billion in the next 2 or 3 years. So we are talking, you know, and that's in addition to it, up from the baseline forecast. So we're talking big numbers. Let's run through those five in turn and some of the recommendations and the issues that emerged. And I'm really interested, Colin, how we compared against Switzerland, Singapore and those jurisdictions that you referenced, because I think it's good to peer review ourselves. Within that area of tech infrastructure and innovation, it's an area as a country we think we're doing really well in, because we walk around the IFSC or from it and go into Silicon Docks and we see all of the big tech multinationals and the spin-off startup companies emerging from Ireland. What was the view from the 140 people that you spoke to about what we can do in this area?
So many views, but if I extract a few of the patterns, I mean, one, you can't deny the extent to which technology is driving and transforming all of our industries, and no different in financial services. And there was a sense, like, if you think about what's unique about Ireland as a country, as an economy, that concentration of technology capability, global technology capability, and a strong sense if we could fuse those two things together, if we could take the great industry that's here today, look at some of those disruption patterns or opportunity areas, and I'll give you some examples, and really put the right incentives or infrastructure in place to help that, to foster that environment. What do I mean? Ireland is one of the global growing hubs for exchange traded funds. A new product in the fund sector, very much about opening.
It's massive. You referenced the funds review that the Department of Finance did last year. I was just reading through it at the weekend. Like, we really have become almost a dominant player in that area. Not the dominant player, but a dominant player.
Absolutely. So, I mean, go back to our example in the 80s, UCITS, the UCITS framework was a very important legal regulatory framework that was set up in Ireland to allow fund products to be manufactured or serviced in Ireland, but sold around Europe. Today, already, exchange-traded funds are being manufactured and serviced here in Ireland and are being exported, not just in Europe, but further afield. But what if we could accelerate that? And what technology and what innovation might be needed? What products might be developed to enable that to happen? Sticking with the funds sector, there's a fascinating new pattern around what's called funds tokenization, which is using blockchain technology to lower the administrative costs and ease access to funds for more stakeholders. That's a brilliant new trend. And we have, I've no doubt we have the technological capability in the country, but are we fusing those skills into the sector at the right rate? And the environment is complex. What we're saying is we need incentives. And I'm a big believer in focus. We can't be great at 20 things as a country. We need to pick 3 or 5 as an industry and really, really like target investment, get the collaboration going around those and make a statement internationally as to what Ireland wants to be known for.
And you're talking about, when you talk about, you know, picking those areas and concentrating, are you looking at things like, and I saw referenced in the report, cybersecurity, AI, payments, sustainable finance, these areas that we really need to go in deep in?
They're all areas, we picked all of those because they're relevant in the industry. There's already infrastructure around them in Ireland, and it's really about doubling down on some of them. Each of them are big growth areas in the financial services sector, absolutely. And it's probably a good segue to our sort of second pillar around talent and labour, because clearly to make this happen, we need the workforce. Here we are sitting, thankfully, in a full employment environment, and there's a lot of contention for these types of skills. When we spoke to leaders, 87% of them cited sort of the importance of labour and demographics. They also talked about infrastructural challenges. We're well aware of the housing challenges we have in the country. But it's there are different ways of sort of peeling the onion, if you like. If you look at, go back to our examples of Switzerland and Singapore, they have very focused intervention programs around reskilling the existing workforce. There are national programs that provide training credits and an actual financial value to people to go and reskill and upskill on strategic talent and strategic skill areas that they believe are important to the economy. In Sweden, actually, an interesting anecdote, they increased the female participation in the workforce by 5% over 10 years through really, really target national programs around, there were tax incentives, there were childcare and infrastructure investments, and other policy changes. And that shifted the dial of basically taking a cohort that often is at risk of opting out of the workforce with extensive years of experience and keeping that participation going. So they're two quick examples, but really what we're advocating for in the report and what all of the stakeholders said is we need a very specific future skills program for financial services. Pick those specialist areas, work from colleges up and work within the existing workforce to create that skills and that supply.
That's going to take a lot of collaboration. And I think having read the report, collaboration is the key things to draw together the strands of what we're doing together and make sure it's all harnessed and coordinated in the one area. Within this area of demographics and supply, I mean, you're talking about linking up with universities. We've now have the Department of Higher Education, get those involved. But to make sure we're funneling the right, you know, resources in the right way.
It is. I mean, there was a very strong pattern in some of the discussions and talking to some industry leaders who've been in industry for quite some time. If you go back to the 80s and 90s, our ecosystem was less complex. The number of stakeholder groups that needed to come together to get things done, the dialogue between government and private sector was much easier to facilitate. There are more regulators, there are more diverse stakeholder groups now. And really there's a very strong sense that we need to pull together cross-functional working groups. We need sponsorship from within the government, probably under a single department. And then a clear focus on moving quicker to get decisions made and signalling. I'd probably pause and say sentiment is hugely important and reputation in these decisions. If a country, if a market says this is what we're focused on, this is what we're building over the next few years, and then starts to follow through on that, that drives investor confidence. That means existing organisations here will scale. People with capital looking at where to deploy it around Europe or the world will say, actually, Ireland is stable, Ireland is predictable, they have track record, we can back that.
And they'll row in behind it. I think another part of it, and there is some areas in the report, is about pushing the, you know what, I was even going to use the phrase pushing the IFSC beyond Dublin, but that shows how Dublin-centric it can be. That there are other cities in Ireland, I mean, we do have financial services companies operating in Wexford, Kilkenny, Donegal, Cork. It's not an outlier, but there seems more opportunity to push financial services outside of a couple of square miles in Dublin?
I think there absolutely is. I think there's an opportunity for the industry to access more talent globally, for us to build hubs of specialism in different locations. I was in Cork recently. I visited a number of different companies and stakeholders and colleges down there. And there's actually quite a lot of the fund sector, we keep coming back to it as an example, that's domiciled in Cork. I saw Financial Services Ireland come out just in the last few working days advocating, the same as we have, for regional or R&D centres, for regional innovation centres focused around specialist themes. So what do you take? We've talked about the funds. If we shift to payments, what if Cork was going to become a payments hub? What if we were going to build partnership between academia, those technology companies and financial services companies? That could be a really interesting opportunity for us. So I'll give you an example of an operation that's called Level 39 in the City of London in Canary Wharf, where focusing on fintech, financial technology and smart cities, they brought together all those stakeholder groups. And by focusing people around those topics, deploying investment into it and saying, these are our specialist areas, they're actually moving the dial much quicker.
Yeah, so again, it's really interesting. I want to move on to the third accelerant, and that's the idea of regulatory and legal framework. Mm. I mean, this is a complex one because you have national regulations, you have international regulations, and it's constantly evolving and changing. And as technologies and as new financial services products emerge, so too the new regulations. So what was the feedback from the people who you talked to and what are your recommendations in this area?
Yeah, so it is complex, exactly as you say, Ian. There was a couple of things that came through very strong. I think the first is a recognition that, you know, Ireland has had a great reputation. Take the complexities of international tax and bilateral tax treaties that we have in place, they facilitate today a lot of the operations that are here. following through with clarity on the tax strategy nationally as we move over to Pillar 2, what that means. Consistency is very, very important. Again, back to my point on signalling. There is a sense that regulation, much needed, and I'd pause and say what the regulator has done in the country over the last 15, 20 years has provided huge stability through a number of shock events. And we've seen global shock events in the last few years that we've weathered well. But there is a sense that regulation has got increasingly complex. There's a call not to remove regulation, but to work to try to simplify it. And there's an opportunity cost. We talk to a lot of organisations and they would say, while we are trying to keep up as we have to with our regulatory obligations, that impedes our ability to spend money on innovating our products, on creating better services and solutions for our customers. So it's definitely a theme on simplification. And I think the last one, and I should pause here and say that the recent investments by our regulator into the regulatory sandbox environment is a brilliant initiative. And that's all about the regulator working alongside stakeholders and regulated entities in the industry to say, well, what new products or services do you want to develop? And can we do that together? That's brilliant. The big thing we have to do is to signal outside of the market that we are open for business, that we are an innovative financial services sector, and that the regulator will continue to work alongside those entities to evolve quicker and together.
You mentioned, you touched upon it there, the idea of tax, which was a key, you know, calling card for Ireland over a number of decades. One of the reasons the IFSC was established and prospered. Is the conversation moving away from tax now for a lot of the companies that you're talking to?
No, not quite. I mean, obviously, with Pillar 2, you're moving from 12.5% to 15% for those.
Well, for a certain number.
For a certain big number, yeah. But there is, that's the point. The inverse of that point is there's many for whom the 12.5% will continue, and consistency around the 12.5% and the state's policy on that is very, very important. And then our ability in there to transpose quicker regulations into the necessary legal frameworks and to get that deployed. There's a sense that we have slowed down as it has got more complex and we need to speed that back up again. We have seen in other geographies, Switzerland and Singapore, to stick with some of our examples, they have taken very focused initiatives. They have signalled, and this probably links to cross-border trade as well, and they have said, for example, that we want to be the home for treasury product development, right, and for expertise in treasury management or in aviation finance or, in Luxembourg's case, in private equity. And they have specific incentives in place. They are working on accelerating the legal and regulatory and tax frameworks that facilitate those specific specialisms. So it comes back to my point about specialism. If we decide 3 to 5 things that are going to be the centre of our growth for the next 5-10 years, and then we solve talent, we solve technology, we solve cross-border trade, reg and legal around those, we can really push forward quicker.
That's really interesting. And just you referenced there, Colin, the idea of cross-border business and the trade environment. It's another accelerant. It's the fourth of the five that we're discussing in this podcast. I'm just wondering what your key thoughts on that were.
Yeah, I think it's recognised as a strength. So Ireland's location today as a hub, as an English-speaking language with common law and a gateway to Europe is extremely strong. Much of the survey respondents and the research said actually is what we need to do is protect that and promote that.
So as in, when we were talking previously about reg and legal, we do need, and it's coming across from any organisation I talk to, we need to expedite the level of regulations being pushed through and a little bit more swiftness and adaptability in terms of the cross-border business and trade environment. Maintain what we have.
And that takes cultivation. It takes clear signalling to the market. It's watching those mechanisms, those bilateral agreements that we said are in place that facilitate that trade. It's constantly making it easy to do business in Ireland. One of the things that has come up in under this heading was just around, there are other markets that look at, say, the simple interventions around investor protections, right, and actually creating incentives for capital to come into Ireland and providing some type of relief or protection against that. Switzerland's particularly good at that. There are other mechanisms that we can learn from those markets and say, can we overlay them on top of an already good infrastructure?
Yeah, so take the best, those best cakes international examples
and bring
them here. And are we doing enough of that at the moment, to your mind?
I don't think the cross-border trade was one where we scored or, you know, compared particularly bad. Ireland was quite strong. So it's more about perpetuate our strengths today than anything wholesale different.
Yeah. And a lot of this, and this was the fifth accelerant that you referred to, is the macroeconomic fundamentals and policy. Mm. that's a broad church of a topic, you know.
Hard to unpack. Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's everything from how, I mean, look, you know, Ireland is an actor, but it's not the only actor. And the Irish government is an actor, but it's not the only actor out there. And there's a lot of, you know, international concerns and worries about how these things are going to go in the future. Mm. So what was the general theme that came back on this topic?
Well, I think one of the things that came through, and it's quite topical, is in a year of elections, as 2024 was, in Ireland we have a new government forming as we have our conversation here today. All signals are it'll be a continuity in terms of policy, and stability actually, and continuity in policy is huge. So, I mean, the macroeconomics, that the numbers are pretty good in terms of the economy, our growth relative to other countries on the European global stage as it is today. Our employment situation is pretty good. But actually stability now in policy and following through on some of those strategies of the past is really, really important. And that's all part of Brand Ireland and perhaps Brand Financial Services Ireland. It's getting out there and sending a clear signal around our commitment to the sector, those areas of specialism that we're going to invest in, and then the infrastructure behind them.
If we were sitting here, you know, back in the 80s and people are outlining what would the financial services look like, you know, I think people have been saying, oh, we want funds, we want, you know, obviously ETFs came up, but it's evolved and changed as the years have gone by. Based upon this report, if I'm to sit down with you in 2028, which isn't that long away, where would you like the financial services industry in Ireland to be? What areas, you've spoken a number of times that we need to pick the areas to target. And again, financial services, just like the economy, is a broad church. But where would you like to see it push and directed?
So I think we have a great advantage, in back to some of our introductory conversation, in the likes of aviation, finance and leasing. We should absolutely continue to be the home for that industry here, and prospects there are very positive. The momentum that we have in the fund sector, I think, is more open to swing. We have a great ecosystem. There's a huge number of players here, but the products are changing and the regulation is changing quickly. So if I take that UCITS example from the 80s, and then if I switch to exchange-traded funds and funds tokenizations as areas of specialism, that we double down on those, then we continue to be certainly the third largest domicile, perhaps catching up with the likes of Luxembourg over time, or to put it another way, working with Luxembourg and having kind of good kind of bilateral trade with them and saying this is the hub outside of the US for funds. I think if we turn to banking for a second, I think we have a phenomenal opportunity as a small island nation as we are, but given where we are today, in the week that we're in, where our obligations have been breached in terms of global warming, to really focus in on being a specialist area for green lending. I think it's a phenomenal opportunity given the funds are here, the banking infrastructure is here. You look at sentiment globally around the US and versus Europe right now, perhaps changes in the US will disincentivize green investment. Well, what if you look at the flip of that? What if we could really accelerate in Europe and Ireland could play a disproportionate role in that journey?
Yeah, so it is about identifying areas of growth and going after them, not to simplify the conversation, but that is it.
It absolutely, and you're right, we have to simplify because it's incredibly complex. So, you know, our belief is by picking areas of specialism, by looking at talent, by fostering innovation and R&D with the capability we have here in the technology sector with academia, by protecting the cross-border and trade mechanisms that we have, and actually saying we're open for business and getting better and partnership between regulator, legislators and the industry. We have all of the raw material. We just need to make sure that we're focused.
Okay, one final question, Colin, because I mentioned the word complacency at the start. We're not the only country or jurisdiction trying to do this. We've been incredibly successful. Ireland and Dublin has been incredibly successful in the decades gone in the past. But there is a warning, I think, and it comes through the report, that we can't be complacent, that other countries, be it London, Luxembourg, Switzerland, wherever, they're also playing this game.
They are, absolutely, and we shouldn't be complacent. And, you know, if we get it right, we'd like to see Ireland kind of creeping back into that top 10 or creeping into those top three over time. If we get it wrong, we'll slip out, we'll slip further back. The challenge with that as you do it is if you don't use momentum when you have it, it's very hard to regain it. So where we have capabilities, we have opportunity, we just need to double down.
And bold decisions of the 80s, bold decisions of now.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone quite articulated or understood what the industry would be when they made those brave decisions in the 80s, but they knew they were setting foundations in place from which great things would grow.
Colin Ryan, Financial Services Managing Partner with EY Ireland. Thank you very much for joining me here today.
Thanks very much, Ian.
You've been listening to the Currency.News podcast. It pays to be curious.